The Honorable, the Chief Justice and the Associate Justices of the Supreme Court of the United States. Oyez, oyez, oyez. All persons having business before the Honorable, the Supreme Court of the United States, are admonished to draw near and give their attention, for the court is now sitting. God save the United States and this honorable court.
The court is in special session this afternoon to receive the resolutions of the Bar of the Supreme Court in tribute to Associate Justice Antonin Scalia. The court recognizes the Acting Solicitor General of the United States.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, at a meeting today of the Bar of this court, resolutions memorializing our deep respect and affection for Justice Scalia were adopted unanimously. Today, the Bar of this court convenes to pay respect to a towering figure in American law, a justice of conviction, character, and courage, a treasured colleague, an irreplaceable mentor, and a man devoted to his country, its Constitution, and this court. In his nearly 30-year tenure on this court, Antonin Scalia displayed a forceful intellect, a remarkable wit, and an inimitable writing style. His ideas helped to shape the way we think about law. And for those blessed to know him, his compassion, humanity, and commitment to his family, friends, and faith will remain an inspiration. Antonin Scalia was born on March 11, 1936, in Trenton, New Jersey, and grew up in the Elmhurst neighborhood of Queens. After graduating from Xavier High School in Manhattan and Georgetown University, Justice Scalia attended Harvard Law School. Although he relished the academic environment at Harvard, the signal event of his Harvard years occurred outside the classroom when he met Maureen McCarthy. Their 55-year marriage produced 9 children and dozens of grandchildren. Following a stint in private practice, Justice Scalia accepted a post at the University of Virginia School of Law in 1967, and then held a series of government positions that culminated in his serving as Assistant Attorney General for the Office of Legal Counsel in the Department of Justice. In 1977, Justice Scalia returned to academia, joining the University of Chicago faculty. In 1982, President Reagan nominated him to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit. And then, in 1986, President Reagan nominated Justice Scalia to this court. Over the next 3 decades, Justice Scalia left his mark on the law in numerous ways, too many to recount in full here. His steadfast commitment to the idea that external legal principles rather than internal policy preference should govern judicial decision-making made him deeply respectful of the Constitution's allocation of powers and vigilant in respecting legal texts. That commitment showed up first and most often in his views on statutory interpretation. Justice Scalia pressed the proposition that when interpreting a statutory text, judges must try to discern and enforce the meanings of words enacted by Congress to express its policies. In his view, courts should never rewrite a discernible statutory text to conform to a law's unenacted legislative purposes. This new textualism had an undeniable impact on the way the court does business. Just as Justice Scalia believed that courts should do their best to honor a statute's text, he thought the same should be true for the Constitution. As he saw it, the words of the Constitution bear the same meaning today as they did when adopted, neither diminished nor augmented. He thus voted against recognition of new rights that he believed lacked a foundation in the Constitution's original meaning, resisting limitations on democratic self-government that he believed the people did not vote to impose. At the same time, he insisted on unyielding enforcement of those restrictions that he believed the people did vote to impose in the text of the Constitution. By the end of Justice Scalia's tenure, a focus on the original public meaning of the Constitution's text had become, if not orthodoxy, a thoroughly respectable and commonplace approach to constitutional interpretation. His approach was perhaps best illustrated in 2 particularly noteworthy opinions, District of Columbia versus Heller, holding that the Second Amendment protects an individual right to keep and bear arms for self-defense, and Crawford v. Washington, interpreting the Sixth Amendment's Confrontation Clause. Although Justice Scalia may be best known for his views on statutory and constitutional interpretation, his first love was an area of substantive law, constitutional structure, which shaped his answers to the underlying questions that appear in every case: who decides and how. Throughout his tenure, Justice Scalia sought to honor the Constitution's structure, its distinct horizontal and vertical lines of power. He appreciated that men and women were not angels and that electing or appointing them to government posts did not make it otherwise. Justice Scalia believed that by assigning three distinct kinds of government power to three distinct branches of government, the Constitution prevented the concentration of government power in the same hands. Justice Scalia likewise regarded the Constitution's vertical separation of power, federalism, as a core feature of the Constitution's structure that needed to be preserved. He joined the court's decisions recognizing limits on Congress's power to regulate interstate commerce and upholding the state's sovereign immunity from suit. In these areas, as in so many others, Justice Scalia had a profound effect on the court's jurisprudence. Of course, no account of Justice Scalia's contribution to this court would be complete without mentioning his remarkably clear and vivid writing and the inventive, memorable images sprinkled throughout. The images were memorable precisely because they captured the substance of the legal point the justice was making. Surely there was a separation of powers problem with the creation of what he called a sort of junior varsity Congress. And surely there was a deep flaw in a dormant Commerce Clause test that asked judges to divine, as he put it, whether a particular line is longer than a particular rock is heavy. And while Justice Scalia's writing frequently leapt off the page, advocates before the court often confronted his tenacity and his wit long before he unsheathed his pen. He peppered lawyers with questions, sometimes posing 30 or 40 in a single argument. And if he found an answer unsatisfactory, he pursued the point through short, often flinty-minded follow-up inquiries. Throughout his judicial career, Justice Scalia maintains his connection with the law schools by accepting countless invitations to speak with students and professors. And in one sense, he never really left teaching. His classroom just got bigger. He often thought of the audience of his opinions as today's and tomorrow's law students, and he relished opportunities to talk to students about his theories of judging and about the many useful ways to use a law degree. Justice Scalia's productivity and many contributions to the law could leave one with the misimpression that he left little time for anything else, and of course, that was not so. This son of Trenton and Queens became an avid hunter and fisherman. He relished meals with friends and colleagues and law clerks, often at the much-beloved AVs and usually with an anchovy pizza and an occasional glass of red wine. He was an ever-present mentor to his many law clerks, and of course, he was deeply devoted to his large and remarkably close family. And through it all, the justice did everything in his brim-filled life with unstinting vigor, curiosity, engagement, and a twinkle in his eye. Gathered here together, looking back at his life, the members of the Bar of the Supreme Court express our deepest respect for the late Justice Antonin Scalia, our loss at his passing from this life, and our enduring gratitude for the example he set in his life both within and beyond the law. On behalf of the Bar of the Supreme Court, it is my privilege to present the court the resolutions adopted today so that the Attorney General may move their inscription on the court's permanent record.
Thank you, General Gershengorn. The court recognizes the Attorney General of the United States.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. The Bar of the Court met today to honor the memory of Antonin G. Scalia, Associate Justice of the Supreme Court from 1986 to 2016. The passing of Justice Scalia has left an enormous void in this courtroom and in the life of the law throughout the United States. With his razor-sharp brilliance and unmatched eloquence, Justice Scalia transformed the way that jurists and lawyers approach the law. He strode like a colossus through some of the most important opinions, concurrences, and dissents of our time, and he had a singular presence, both in the courtroom and on the page. His penetrating questions and oral argument did not merely seek to clarify minor nuances. They cut to the heart of a position's flaws. And his writing did not merely state the law. It captivated all who treasure memorable and radiant prose. And even those who disagreed with Justice Scalia could appreciate his inspired wordsmithing, like his assertion that Congress does not hide elephants in mouse holes. or his contention that the rule of law requires a law of rules. Justice Scalia's life was a quintessentially American story. His father was a Sicilian immigrant who came through Ellis Island as a teenager, earned a doctorate from Columbia, and became a professor. His mother was an elementary school teacher, herself the daughter of Italian immigrants. By all accounts, Justice Scalia's talent was obvious from a young age, from Xavier High School in Manhattan to Georgetown, where he graduated first in his class, to Harvard Law School, where he edited the Harvard Law Review. He was a charismatic student who loved to debate. That charisma and his love of the clash of ideas would come to define him. With these gifts, he could have gone anywhere and done anything. He could have conquered the worlds of commerce or found a home within the business of the law. But rather than pursue material wealth in the private sector, he chose the wealth of ideas to be found in academia. And instead of seeking public acclaim, he turned to public service. Law students at the University of Virginia, as well as the University of Chicago, Georgetown, and Stanford benefited from his rigorous intellectualism and love of the law. And we at the Department of Justice also benefited from his dedication to public service. From 1974 to 1977, he served as the head of the Office of Legal Counsel at the Department of Justice. The traits that would come to define Justice Scalia's judicial presence were apparent in that role, as he provided written opinions that showcased his intellectual rigor, his sharp pen, and his independent mind. He was also known for his fierce support of the independence of the Office of Legal Counsel and of the department, traditions we are proud to uphold. Justice Scalia's contributions to the Supreme Court cannot be overstated. Countless pages have been written about the textualist approach to statutory interpretation he championed. In his three decades on the bench, he succeeded in changing the very way that lawyers and judges determine the meaning of congressional enactments, and he fundamentally transformed legal argument. As Justice Kagan noted in her Scalia lecture at Harvard Law School, we're all textualists now. Justice Scalia will also be remembered for his robust interpretations of the protections that the Constitution affords those who come in contact with the criminal justice system. His Fourth Amendment and Sixth Amendment decisions regarding searches, the right to a jury trial, and the Confrontation Clause fundamentally shaped the way law enforcement officers investigate potential wrongdoing and the way prosecutors put on their cases. The opinions are noteworthy for their reliance on Justice Scalia's originalist approach to interpreting the Constitution, a philosophy that looks backwards in order to look forward. It looks back to the founding of this great nation in an effort to understand the protections reserved in the Constitution, and it looks forward to demand that we uphold these protections despite changing times. But Justice Scalia's greatest legacy may be that he brought unmatched conviction and enthusiasm to his jurisprudence. In doing so, he elevated our national legal discourse for all Americans. He challenged even those who agreed with him, and he earned the respect of those who did not. Lawyers who appeared before Justice Scalia found themselves compelled to clarify their positions and to sharpen their arguments. Readers of Justice Scalia's opinions could not disregard the strength of his reasoning and were forced to re-examine their own convictions. Justice Scalia knew that this was the point of debate, and he also knew that debate was the essence of democracy. For decades, he had an outsized role in the debates over the meaning of our most fundamental principles, principles of liberty, justice, and equality. And because of the brilliance, the eloquence, and the unique passion he brought to that debate, he guaranteed that he will continue to shape it for decades to come. Mr. Chief Justice, on behalf of the lawyers of this nation, and in particular, the members of this court's bar, I respectfully request that the resolutions presented to you in honor of Antonin Scalia be accepted by the court, and that they, together with the chronicle of these proceedings, be ordered kept for all time in the records of this court.
Thank you, General Lynch. Your request that the bar resolutions be made part of the permanent record of the court is granted. The court extends to the members of the Resolutions Committee, to the members of the Arrangements Committee, and to the chairman of today's meeting of the bar our appreciation for the resolutions adopted today. Antonin Scalia was nominated to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit by President Reagan on July 15, 1982. He joined that court on August 17 that same year. And just 4 years later, President Reagan nominated him to be our 103rd Supreme Court Justice. At the time of the White House announcement, he was not well known to the public. The press had to ask Justice Scalia how to pronounce both his first and last names. Antonin Scalia was confirmed on Constitution Day in 1986 by a vote of 98-0. He took the oath of office as an Associate Justice of this court on September 26, 1986. Today, every lawyer and journalist in this country, and most other citizens as well, know how to pronounce Justice Antonin Scalia. In nearly three decades on this court, Justice Scalia wrote, by our count, 282 opinions for the court, beginning with O'Connor versus United States, which he announced exactly 30 years ago today, and ending with Kansas versus Carr, which he announced on January 20 of this year. He was also known to write separately from time to time, authoring more than 300 concurrences and nearly as many dissents. He served with 17 other justices during his long tenure on this court. You have already heard of Justice Scalia's extraordinary legacy. On matters of constitutional interpretation, he championed the judicial philosophy of originalism, the view that the Constitution means today what it meant when it was adopted. He espoused this approach in opinions, both for the court and in dissent, that are now a central feature of every law school's constitutional curriculum. His opinions explaining our Constitution's structural constraints on governmental power are among the most important intellectual contributions to the study of liberty since the Federalist Papers. Justice Scalia defended the President's power to appoint and remove executive officials, not to aggrandize presidential power, but to maintain the equilibrium between co-equal branches of government. He insisted that Congress perform the duties within its constitutional charge and leave other matters alone, not to manage the legislative process, but to promote individual freedom through electoral accountability. He approached the judicial branch with the same rigor. Justice Scalia demanded that federal courts stay within their constitutionally prescribed role of deciding only concrete cases and controversies. He did so not to avoid difficult issues, but to ensure that judges who are insulated from the political process resolve only those matters within Article III's grant of judicial power. Justice Scalia applied originalist scrutiny to interpreting the Bill of Rights. His views were especially influential with respect to the First Amendment's religion clauses, the Second Amendment's right to bear arms, and the Sixth Amendment's confrontation clause. He persuasively explained how the guarantees set forth 225 years ago continue to provide vital protections in our own age. Writing for the court in cases involving the Fourth Amendment, he demonstrated how the centuries-old protections against unreasonable searches and seizures reach contemporary police investigatory tools, ranging from thermal imaging to electronic tracking devices to drug-sniffing dogs. He once commented that his opinions on the scope of criminal law safeguards in the Bill of Rights should make him the favorite justice among criminal defendants across the country. Now, whether he wrote for the court or in dissent, Justice Scalia's incisive analysis and unforgettable prose compelled jurists, lawyers, and citizens alike to think deeply about the meaning of the compact that binds us. Justice Scalia left an equally enduring mark on statutory construction. His insistence on the primacy of a statute's text has enforced greater discipline on the task of construction. As he explained, reliance on the statutory text restrains judicial discretion and thereby promotes democracy. Although Justice Scalia was a keen legal theorist, he was deeply concerned about the practical workings of government, and that intense focus is reflected in his contributions to administrative law. He made enduring contributions to that field as a teacher, scholar, and chairman of the Administrative Conference of the United States, even before he became a judge. Whatever the discipline, whatever the role, Justice Scalia was committed to finding the right answer. And once he had settled upon what was right, he let the chips fall where they may and cared not a whit what others thought about it. Justice Scalia's voice is perhaps most deeply missed in this very chamber. From his first day on the bench, he was a vigorous participant in oral argument. His insightful inquiries enlivened debate and brought out the best in his colleagues and the attorneys who appeared before him, on many occasions also confirming that their best was not good enough. Now, it would be a stretch to say that there was never a dull moment in this chamber. But often, just when things were getting a bit soporific, counsel would make some assertion that would trigger a reaction from Justice Scalia, ranging from explosive to subtle, and the game would be on. His comments in this room also included priceless sotto voce insights shared only with those fortunate enough to sit beside him on the bench. Justice Scalia was not restrained in stating his views clearly and forcefully, but he never ceased being our dear friend and valued colleague. He wrestled with ideas, not people, and he knew the difference. He made our days warmer, livelier, and happier. He sang loudest and best at our traditional birthday celebrations. He raised his glass highest to toast others' happy occasions, and his rich laughter filled our halls and our hearts. Justice Scalia's life reached far beyond the law. He would never have said that the law was what was most important to him. He was steadfast in his Roman Catholic faith, and he was devoted beyond measure to his beloved wife, Maureen, and the 9 children they raised. On occasions such as this, speakers often employ so many laudatory adjectives that the effect can be to sow doubt rather than admiration. But no one who knew Justice Scalia, however they viewed his work, would dispute for a moment that he was patriotic, principled, loyal, courageous, engaging, and brilliant. Those of us on the court will miss Nino, but we will continue to feel his presence throughout this building. Our ears will hear his voice in this courtroom when advocates invoke his words, searching for powerful authority. Our minds will move to the measure of his reason in our chambers when we study his opinions. And our hearts will smile, even as our eyes glisten, when we walk the halls and recall how happy we were whenever we saw him rounding the corner.
The Honorable Court is now adjourned until Monday next at 10 o'clock.